I want to talk about honoring mom today on Mother's Day. Admonitions and encouragements to everyone, not just moms, but to everyone on Mother's Day. We're going to break from 2 Samuel just for 1 week today. And that study in 2 Samuel has been so rich and so many lessons week after week in that book. But on Mother's Day, it's a tradition, and I think it's a good tradition that we break from whatever study we're in and honor moms, and so we'll do that today. It's the kind of day when you bring flowers to mom and cards are written. Some of us cards still need to be written, and they're given, and meals are prepared by someone else other than mom in the home usually. That's some of the traditions that different families have. Perhaps you're going to go eat out at a favorite restaurant or invite friends over and do those kind of things, and we do that on Mother's Day. But I want to bring both encouragement today to moms and maybe some admonishments to everyone also, I hope, in the course of today. Encouragements are things like, if I'm encouraging you, I want to get some approval, support, hope to you. Admonishments, maybe some warnings to warn you strongly, maybe to counsel, maybe a few of us to take us to task a little bit. Hopefully not the moms, hopefully other people listening. That's what an admonishment is. So the challenge on Mother's Day is always to deliver a message that says just the right thing to every mother here. And it's impossible to do. It's literally impossible to do. It's a very hard thing because when I speak of husbands and wives and moms in a two-parent family context, the single mom might say, what about me? You're not talking to me. You're talking to husband, wife, two parents in the home. Situation, you're forgetting about me, and I'm not. Or when I speak of the blessings of being a godly Christian mom, what's the single person who's never been married thinking as I'm saying this? And I don't want to leave that person out either. When I tell you, adult person listening, to honor your mom, and you're estranged from your mom, the relationship isn't that good with mom. It's difficult. You won't see mom today. You won't call mom today. Some of what I'm going to say is not going to be easy to hear because you put that through the filter of what your current family situation is. So I just ask, please extend grace to me today as I attempt with God's help to honor moms without dissing the single moms and without frustrating the unmarried single women who are among us. Because I do believe, as I was writing this and praying over this, that God is in your situation. Wherever you're at right now, whatever your life situation is, God is in that. And He desires to do good to you and to bless you. And your Heavenly Father wants to pour blessing out upon you. And He is in the middle of this with you. So the first thing that I'd like to say this morning is it's good and wise. It's a good and wise thing to honor your mothers. And can you turn with me just for a couple minutes before we get into that to Proverbs 31. I don't know that I've ever preached on Proverbs 31, but I kept going back to this passage over and over and over again this week. And I just want to frame what we're going to talk about from Proverbs 31. Didn't we have a skit a few years ago where the Proverbs 31 woman by this family over here where you hung a bunch of stuff on mom? And yeah, I almost called for that this week, but then I thought, they had probably had a busy week. They probably wouldn't want to do that again. But beginning in verse 10, an excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is like fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Just praise God that that's a picture of the women in our church. And women that are growing every day in godliness. And so I just want to say this morning, it's a good and a wise thing to honor our mothers. Exodus 20:12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Honor has that idea of consider weighty, or to set the value of a thing. Honor is an important thing. Honoring mom is a critical thing. If that's not a part of your vocabulary, young people, in honoring mom, you need to make it a part of your vocabulary, because it helps to set the value of the mom that God has given you. It helps you to consider weighty what she says and what she does in the home. Honor. In Exodus 21:15, whoever strikes his mother, her father, or his mother shall be put to death. Exodus 21:17, whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. Honor is to be shown to our moms with both our heart and our mouth. Not just with words, and our actions don't back it up. Not just with our actions, but not with words. Both word and deed. How important it is that according to Exodus 21:15 and 17 to honor our moms? It's very, very important. Not just a little bit important. It's very important. In fact, Leviticus 19:3, it's not in your notes, but Leviticus 19:3 says, "Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." In the same verse, it's like there's equal weight put on honoring mom and dad, emphasis on honoring mom today, and keeping the Sabbath. And back in the Old Testament times, keeping the Sabbath was a critically important thing. Same verse. And I believe honoring mom is critically important also. Carries over into the New Testament, where Jesus says in Matthew 15, and the context here is he's talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees kind of had a twisted, bent view of what they could do to get out of honoring mom and dad. It says in Matthew 15, verse 4, "And why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, Pharisees, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God, you hypocrites." He just nails them. He says that somewhere in the past, a tradition had developed that said, if you gave it all to God, and mom came and had some needs, you could say, "I'm sorry, I can't help you. I've given it all to God. I've made a vow to give it all to God. And because I did that, that vow must not be violated," according to Numbers verse chapter 30, verse 2. They couldn't be used for anything else but service to God. So in their blindness, they would say, "I've given it all to God. Therefore, I don't have to follow the commandment to honor mom, because it's all been given to God." And Jesus says, "You're a hypocrite when you think that that's true Christianity. When you think that you can escape, get around, avoid honoring mom." He says, "You're a hypocrite." Back to Exodus 21, verse 15. "Whoever strikes his father or his mother," striking a parent, I look at that as physical mistreatment, "was on the same par as murder." Scary thought, huh? Pushing mom and dad, shoving mom or dad, reaching out, trying to hit them out of anger, was on a par with murder in the Old Testament. Don't be rough with mom, young men. Mom's a gentle flower. She can still take you if she needed to, but she's a gentle flower. And don't lash out at mom. And don't be overly rough with mom. Never strike your parents. Never hit them. Adults, as us our age that are dealing with aging parents, we need to be careful with aging parents too, because we can, in our frustration, our anger at what mom and dad used to be like, how they used to be, how strong they used to be and how weak they are now, how needy they are, how dependent they are. Many of us are dealing with aging relatives, and we love them and we honor them by treating them gently, even though they tell you the same stories time after time after time, or can't remember when you were there, or can't or forget that you just done that for them, or you were there, saw them just yesterday, and they say, oh, it's been so long since you've come to see me. And you want to lash out and you want to say, it was just yesterday that I was here. What do you mean? But part of honoring mom and dad is just receiving that, knowing they're in a more frail condition, and not lashing out, especially physically, but also in verse 17, that cursing, that verbal mistreatment, that was punishable by death too. This one is more likely to happen. This is where we lash out verbally in anger towards our parents. That's for kids now, that's disrespectful, yelling back at mom and dad, talking back, arguing with mom, calling her names to her face, those type of things. None of that should be in our vocabulary as young people. And as old people, we need to be careful with our words, our older people, to our aging parents. We need to be careful with them. God takes the honor of our mothers very, very seriously. Very seriously. And so should we. What's God's ideal? God's ideal for married women is most honorable. As we read in Proverbs 31, verse 10, an excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. There's no better place to look for character qualities of a godly woman than Proverbs 31. And I know some women look at that and they go, I can never measure up. I'm so deficient in so many areas. I don't even know what a distaff is, but I don't have one, and it's not in my hand, and I just can't measure up. So we heap guilt upon ourselves, don't we, ladies, sometimes, and say, I could never measure up. Or the husband that uses Proverbs 31 kind of as a checkoff list. You're not doing this, you're not doing this, you're not doing this. And they're already feeling guilty for where they're falling short, and we use Proverbs 31 kind of as a little weapon to say, man, you're falling so far short. But this one says, an excellent wife, her worth is above, far above jewels. There's nothing in earth, nothing that you can touch tangibly that's more valuable than your wife or kids for your mom. Nothing more valuable on earth that you can touch. Are you treating your mom that way? Husbands, are you talking to your wife that way? Are you reminding them that there's nothing more valuable? They are indispensable to you. Start getting words into your vocabulary, husbands, like, I couldn't do this without you. You're indispensable. Thank you for being alongside of me. Things like that. Those bless our wives. It says her husband trusts in her. He has confidence in her. She's a woman of her word. Deep down inside, the trust of a husband goes right down into his core because he knows that he can trust his wife. Very, very important. God's ideal married woman is defined by her value to her husband. And I know even as I say that, some people will say, well, it's more than just her value to her husband. There's more to it than that, and there is. But God's ideal married woman receives so much from her husband when he expresses how much worth and how much value she is to him. Why is that? Genesis 2:18 through 24. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, she shall be called woman. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. The woman was created as an image bearer of God, equal to the man, is seen as a completer to her husband in these verses. He was incomplete without her. It's not incorrect, husbands, for us to tell our wives, I'm incomplete without you. I couldn't have gotten dressed without my wife being here by my side today, literally, because of this wrist. But she is a completer. Man is deficit or deficient without his wife. And the married woman's value is most on display, I believe, in the marriage relationship and also in the home. Here's what we believe the Bible teaches about roles of men and women. Can you go to slide 9, Joseph? Male and female were created by God as equal in dignity, value, essence, and human nature, but also distinct in role, whereby the male was given the responsibility of loving authority over the female, and the female was to offer willing, glad-hearted, and submissive assistance to the man. That's from the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood website. I would just commend that website to you. If you're struggling with roles of men and women and a husband leading and this glad-hearted submission that it talks about here, write down that website and go spend some time there. There are hundreds of articles that just help to unpack that, way more than we could do today. It's such a resource to the body of Christ, and it aligns so well with what we believe as a church and we believe is a biblical pattern for roles of men and women. It's an honorable thing to be a mother in a culture that says male and female are equal in dignity, value, and essence, but different in roles. It's an honorable thing to be a mother in this church. We value that. We value motherhood, and we want to raise up motherhood. And we realize, even as we say this, there are some not in that condition. There's single moms. There are moms to be that aren't yet married. There's young single women, and yet we want to put the emphasis today on God's ideal for a married woman. Elizabeth Elliot says it this way: God made Eve after Adam, for Adam, from Adam. He brought her to Adam to be named by Adam, and so be joined to Adam. A woman who understands this whole concept of roles, equal in dignity, value, and essence, but different in roles, that understands this, honors God, and brings great, great value to her husband. So how does an ideal married woman do her husband good and not evil all the days of her life? She begins by making wise and diligent use of whatever she has been given to produce quality material goods for her family. Back to Proverbs 31, verses 12 through 18, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. The picture here in Proverbs 31 is a household manager. The Proverbs 31 woman is a household manager, not a slave to the kitchen and the laundry room. She's a household manager. It's a woman who wisely manages all of the resources that fall under her responsibility. When she does this, it says she does her husband good, not evil, all the days of her life. She realizes that what comes into the home in terms of income from the husband or other things that come in are there for her to bless her family. It says they rise before dawn. I always got hung up on that one because I think that means that the priority of her family, or priority of her life, excuse me, is her home and her family. This rising up before her lamp does not go out, those are the kind of things I think that tell us that her priority is her home and her family. That's her number one priority. Moms, after caring for your husbands and that's a big responsibility. Raising your children in a godly Christian environment is the most important thing you're ever going to do. The most important thing you're ever going to do. I want to challenge moms to have a multi-generational perspective on raising your children. When you look through the eyes of your children, do you see, as you're doing dirty dishes, do you see dirty dishes for the glory of God? Do you see through the eyes of your children, their children, and their grand, and your grandchildren, and your great, great, great grandchildren, as you do that? That's the perspective I think we need to have, and we have to help each other have. Doing dirty dishes for the glory of God has a multi-generational perspective that says, even in the mundane, there's a multi-generational idea of what's happening here. Proverbs 12:27, whoever slothful will not roast his game. That needs no unpacking. Proverbs 19:24, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it to his mouth. So that aspect of laziness and not caring, and that's not where we're going. But Proverbs 10:4, the hand of the diligent makes rich. Makes rich. We need to be careful and think that just the producing of household stuff is all there is. There's so much more to it than that. Is that all that defines a woman? How she keeps the house? How she prepares the food? How she cares for her family? Is there more to it than that? I really believe there is. The ideal woman uses things to love people rather than using people to love things. Proverbs 31, verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she smiles at the future. Those producing of things in the home are not the end all. It's not the end result of what's supposed to happen. These things that happen, this household management that happens, is meant to support the mission of her husband. And a family vision gets advanced when that mission and her actions and her hard work come alongside and support her husband. Moms, in the hard work of caring for your family, there's multiplied fruitfulness. And these verses say the poor and the needy are cared for because of how you manage the household that God has entrusted you with. Her own household, perhaps her extended family in verse 21, are helped by the work of her hands. Verse 22 says, you yourself, mom, are blessed by that. Verse 23 says, her husband is blessed. Verse 23 also says, the merchants, those who you conduct business with, are blessed by how you manage your household. Moms, you become blessings, instruments of blessing to those that you come in contact with, whether it's the merchant, extended family, your own close-up family. And it's a team effort. Proverbs 12:4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. And a man's success in life is often the result of some team effort. And a man's wife is intended to, by God, to be the key member of his team. They talked in the Revolution Tour about collaboration. And, man, I really challenge you to see your wife as the key member of your team to support the mission and the vision that you have in your home. She is the key member. Treat her like the key member that she is. What happens when that doesn't happen, though? God's definition of the foolish woman is the opposite of the ideal woman in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 7:10-12, and behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Wily of heart. Sat and thought about that for a wily of heart. I think that's the deceitful, undermining contrariness that can spring up in the heart of a foolish woman. Also says, loud and wayward. Loud, mouthy. Having to be heard attitude. You need to hear me. And you say it in loud tones. We've all seen that at the grocery store in the mall, haven't we? When you see somebody two aisles over, can't even see them, but you can hear them, and they're trying to make a point with a child or with a spouse or somebody. It's about being noticed, no matter what the cost. Proverbs 21:19, it's better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. Contentious, somebody who's prone to controversy. You say it, and they say it just slightly different, or they correct you all the time. Dispute, disagreement, argument, contention has the idea of argument and fighting, or vexing, causing irritation, just getting under the skin, annoying, displeasure. Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her hands. Just thank you, ladies, for not being unfaithful, contentious, vexing, and foolish. I thank you so much for the godly example that you set in this congregation of godly women. I thank you that you talk to each other as godly women, encouraging each other when you're prone to go in directions you shouldn't go or say things you shouldn't say. I thank you for holding each other accountable, woman to woman, older teaching younger, spending time with each other, encouraging each other in the faith. So thankful for that. That spirit of unfaithfulness, contentious, vexing, foolish, is not in this congregation. And I'm so, so glad. And that's because of the maturity that you women have and your right perspective on managing your household, honoring your husbands, and living out what our Proverbs 31 wife is all about. Thank you for not being that way. Why would any woman be willing to live like a Proverbs 31 woman? People could look at that and say, that is so oppressive. That is so difficult. That is so impossible. I believe the answer is because the wise woman is trusting God enough to obey Him. The wise woman is trusting God enough to obey Him. The wise woman says, you know what? My husband is not perfect. Sometimes he says it wrong. Sometimes he doesn't show the praise and the respect and the honor that I'd like to receive. And my kids have forgotten how to thank me for the mundane things of life. But she says, God, I'm trusting you enough to obey you. Even if the verbal accolades and praise aren't there, I'm going to trust you in being a Proverbs 31 type of woman. And when that happens, verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. A Proverbs 31 woman doesn't look to praise herself. But a Proverbs 31 woman doesn't seek her own honor because God has given husbands and children the responsibility for honoring them. Kids, can you think through that for a minute? It's your responsibility to praise mom and to thank her, and not just on Mother's Day. Don't just wait till the card company tells you to buy a card to honor mom. Do it throughout the year. Very simple things. Thanks, mom. I appreciate that. We had our marriage group on Friday night, and we talked about the very basic, mundane things that we forget to thank mom or our wife for. Things like, I'll come into the house and the kitchen is totally clean. The counters are totally clean. And while that's expected of mom that she's going to do that, or one of the older children, however you do it in your home, but let's say it's mom that's supposed to do that, does it hurt at all if I notice and I say, thanks, Lou, for doing that. Thanks for cleaning up the kitchen so nice. Really appreciate that. That really makes it nice to come home to a kitchen that is just spotless like that, and to take notice of that. those words of affirmation and praise mean a lot to my wife. And they mean a lot to your wife and your mom too, kids. They mean a lot to them. And so let's not neglect that. And it's our responsibility as husbands to give honor to our wives. Ephesians 5:32 and 33 in the New Testament. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that about marriage refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Loving our wives as ourselves means that we would take more care as husbands to show appreciation to our wives for what they are doing, even the basic, boring, mundane things in life. But she's doing it out of love for her family. She's doing it out of obedience to what the Lord says to do. And she's doing it because she wants to help you, husbands, in your vision of where you want to take the family. So lead out and honor her in doing that. We need to dedicate ourselves to showing honor to our wives and mothers, not just today, but every single day. Over the last couple of weeks, I've become more and more convinced that words of blessing to our spouse, to our moms, kids towards mom and dad, word towards blessing are like medicine in a home. Things get well with words of blessing. Now, some of you that have a hard time to do that, you need to get into, we talked about last time, get into accountable relationships with other men that will ask you, talk this to the husbands here, get into accountable relationships with other men that will ask you the hard questions. How are you doing, men, in honoring and blessing your wives? Men, how are you doing in blessing each one of your children and giving time to each one of them that's in your home? Face-to-face time. Things like that. And then young people. I was so pleased to hear last week we have some of the young ladies that are desiring to gather together on a weekly basis or as often as possible to pray together for each other and to encourage each other. That great fruit will come from that in our church body. Great fruit. Not grapefruit, but great fruit. You understand what I said? Sorry, medicine's taken over. When we have an open mic, our open mic is available to anyone in the congregation to come up and share. If the Lord prompts something on your heart, if you're a young woman or a young man, turn to mom or dad and say, I believe I need to share something from the open mic. Share it with dad or mom if dad's not here, and then come to the open mic and share that. There's no age restriction on the open mic. The restriction on the open mic is come filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, come and share at the open mic. But don't wait for the open mic to honor mom or dad. Honor mom, especially on this day, honor mom during your day-to-day activities. So, anyway, in my rambling today, I want to impress upon us, I'm speaking to myself first and foremost, honor moms. Wherever your mom is, honor her in some way today. And get in the habit of honoring mom on a regular basis, not just when you have to give a card. And then I'm going to ask John if you'd come up, and I'll pray for the communion, and then if you could break the bread for us. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful as men for the women that you have put into our lives. Thank you for the wives that you have given to us. Thank you for the strength that they have, the strength of character. I thank you for the godly women that are in this church that are not content to just be mediocre Christian women, but are pursuing and following hard after you and being godly women. Thank you that iron is sharpening iron and each person is sharpening each other in this body. And we just delight to see the fruit that you are bringing about in this congregation. Lord, we're doing all of this because of your supreme sacrifice on the cross for us. We thank you that every week we're able to take a little bit of bread and a little cup, and it reminds us of your broken body and your shed blood. May we reflect again on the sacrifice that you made on our behalf. it's not a sacrifice for us to say, thank you, Mom. For us to say, I love you, Mom. For us to say, you're such a blessing in this home. That's not a hard thing. That's an easy thing to do. It's a hard thing, what you did, to come to the cross, and you did it in willing obedience to the Father. Obedience to Him and a blessing to us for all eternity. And so we take this bread now and this cup in Jesus' name. Amen.